that we're understanding about what is it that led to Christ's birth is understanding that he was first and foremost announced and proclaimed by angels. Do you know that in the Bible, over 100 events of angelic visitation happened in the Old Testament? Over 100 are referenced in Scripture. Do you know in the New Testament, over 160 angelic visitations? I can imagine getting an angelic visitation. You know, it was like when we were singing that last song, you know, in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's like we're joining with a choir. Do you know the angels do three things? This is in case you fall asleep during the message, all right? They do three things throughout Scripture that always occurs. They're always worshiping God. They're always bringing the message of God, pointing to his son. And they're always in the place of wanting to minister to those who are hearing it. They're wanting to make sure they get it. They're not there to just say, hey, this is happening, get with the program, and they leave. They actually stay, have a conversation, and make sure the message lands and that the person gets to respond, all right? So remember that. Angels throughout Scripture, over 100 times in the Old Testament, over 160 times in the New Testament, always about three things. Worshiping God. They always come worshiping God. He's their focus. They've come from heaven. They know what it's all about. They're always bringing the message of God, and they're always ministering to the person they're bringing the message to, because they know it could be a little intense. They've been standing in glory, and then they visit earth. We're going to read this morning of two accounts where the angels visit people to make it very clear what is happening. And we were seeing that with that word hark. Anybody use hark in their normal language? All right. I should have been using it a lot more often with my family. Hark! Put your shoes on. Hark! It is now time to get into the car. Hark! It means listen, hear, pay attention. Anyway, some of you sat up straight, some of you became instantly rebellious. All right, anyway, it depends where you're at. But what happens in this moment is there's a hark moment. There's listen, hear. There is something happening beyond what you're aware of. And the angels want to let them know. So what had happened in the story of Christ is that John the Baptist's mum, Beanie referenced his dad, had become pregnant with John the Baptist. And she was talking through that, and Zechariah was prophesying what had happened. But in this time, in her sixth month, something became apparent through announcement of angels. We're going to read it in capital letters because we want to make it very, very loud. In Luke 1, 26 to 38, we're going to read through. It says this, in the sixth month, referring to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent forward from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. These details are important. They were actually historically correct. Betrothed, not yet married in any way. And of the house of David, important again. And the virgin's name is Mary. So we are of no doubt who this was. Mary and Joseph of Nazareth. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Seems like a normal greeting, doesn't it? But let's remember, this is an angel. Shining bright light, has been standing in God's presence. But she was greatly troubled. He's like, hey, this is the moment. She's like, who on earth are you? But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Why are you announcing this to me? Why are you saying I am this one who is favored? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Name, again, very specific. We've got Mary and Joseph of Nazareth. And this son who is of God, his name is to be Jesus, for the avoidance of doubt. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom and of his kingdom there will be no end. The conversation continues. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Very practical question. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called holy, because he is heavenly. He has come in this way, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month, and it is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Do you see the angelic pattern here? Comes with a message, worshiping God for what he's doing, and then lands it with the person, ensuring they understand. Any questions? She's like, actually, I've got a couple. How's this going to happen? And she doesn't even get to, what am I going to do with my, you know, husband who I'm betrothed to? The angels are going to look after him as well in the story. They're going to make sure they visit him. But there's a moment here where God is answering the question through Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth was barren. This is her cousin, was barren, and that was impossible. And God's saying, well, this is what's happening in her. So when you go and check this out, you're going to have absolute clarity that this is what God does and he's doing with you. And of course, we know that Mary goes to visit her and finds out this is exactly what's happened. Because at 6 months, let's be honest, you're showing, right? She would have visited her family, gone to her and seen, oh my goodness, this is Elizabeth who was barren and now she is impossibly carrying a son. What is God doing in and through me? God is so careful to ensure that we get the announcement, the message, the ability to hear, and the evidence of what he's doing. But the angels are a part of this. Let's fast forward a few months, okay? So they say that Elizabeth might have been pregnant in June, and there's a six-month reality till this announcement happens, so it might have been December. So we don't know the fullness of exactly when Mary, it was conceived, the baby was conceived in her, but we know that it's somewhere between September and October, September, October to December the next year, for those who like details. But we do know by the record that is kept by the Jewish and the rulership of Rome that the occurrence of Jesus' birth was happening. Let's fast forward and find out what happens. In Luke 2 and verse 1 to 14, it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, real guy, real ruler, real Roman governor, that all the world should be registered. That sort of includes everyone, doesn't it? All the known world. This was the first registration of this governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, in each in his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, which was prophesied, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, which was also prophesied, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. So Mary and Joseph go up there, and they are registered with all the world willingly, so that it's registered that they were in Rome, in the Roman rulership, in that region at the time. And they would have been in Bethlehem at the time. And she was pregnant. And they were betrothed, all recorded. So sometimes people doubt the story, and I'm just saying there's a few hundred years of records to be accounted for here and tested in the Bible. And it goes on to say, and while they were there, Joseph's like, we've got to go and get registered. He's obviously one of those details guys. I know that you're heavily pregnant, but we're going. And the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So So that's how they end up in the manger. Very practical. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, and they were keeping their watch over their flocks by night. Shepherds were not highly heralded job people. They were humble servants who looked after sheep outside of a city. But the reference point goes on to say, and an angel of the Lord, here's the angels again, said to them, or appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So again, heavenly interventions into earth should be received as bright shining sun. What a moment. The light has come. And yet, for us who live in sometimes the form of darkness, bright light can be scary, right? Because everything's seen. Everything's known. They would not have expected that. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Again, obvious. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." Two angelic visitations. Both of them carry the same pattern. Both of them carry the message of the gospel that God is coming through his Son to deliver the world into his kingdom, his way, his purposes, his way of thinking. And the reality is that these angels have come from that kingdom. So they are loving what they're hearing. Finally, you will all get to experience and greater what we have experienced from eons of time. These angels are carrying a clear understanding of what heavenly realm is like into an earthly realm. And they've always done this, always carried this. It was not new in Israel's culture for angels to appear. What was new was what they were declaring, that this is that time. This is that moment. And who they chose to reveal it to. A humble girl who was following God, who had God's heart, who humbly sought him. And the angel comes and says, "God's chosen you." Shepherds watching the fields by night, thinking, who would see anything in us? And God going to the outer reaches of the community and saying, "I'm going to represent all of you. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to stand you up in who I see you as, in value and in love." You see, God's love will reach every echelon of our society. But there is some things to note. For those who are interested in what does it mean to have what is the purpose of an angelic messenger just dropping in on you? Anybody had an angelic messenger just drop in lately? Announce anything? They always accompany glorious, miraculous, momentous moments that we might not recognize. Think of the words that were declared, "Glory in the highest." They provide the correct, defined or divinely defined response to events. Both in Mary's case and the shepherds, they were in fear. And they're like, no, the correct response is praise, worship, honor, excitement, great joy. The correct response is, this is God coming and coming to his people. They proclaim the good news. Everyone proclaims the good news of Jesus, who has been with Jesus. Isn't this amazing? We get to do that now. They were always doing it. They were saying, this is Jesus. This is his message. This is the good news. Understand what is taking place. This is a sign to us that everything is about to change. Good news. They fulfill ancient prophecies in announcing the time and the place and the significance of what is happening. And they praise God for it. They usher in an understanding. This is a whole new spiritual age. From this moment Not only will the Holy Spirit be overshadowing Mary and overshadowing the things that are going to happen that assign God, that will continue to happen, and that's going to spread out to all people. Impossible things are going to start happening for anyone who responds humbly to Christ. They're not just saying, hey, that's just for you, Mary. They said, that's for Elizabeth, that's for you. That will be for all people. It's not God's plan to just do impossible things for a few individuals. God's nature is to do impossible things. And the angels have been with him. They've hung around. They've seen a few thousand years of this. They know his nature. They know what he does with us. Impossible things are made possible. In fact, God loves those odds because he gets the glory. Think about it in your life. Sometimes, for those of you who have walked with God, it's not until you've fully acquainted yourself with the impossibility of the circumstance that God presents himself in his full glory. Only when our last breath is, God, this can only be you now, does he go, thank you, and I will now reveal my glory. I'm trying to get there faster because it seems to have a great effect. When you can just say, God, how about you take this? You do this. Remember last week? Stand still and watch his salvation come. And suddenly we see Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph experiencing this moment. Really close. Really personal. And that was what it was going to be for us. They always glorify God's Son and point to who he really is. Not just say, this is God's Son, this is amazing, he needs to be worshipped. They say, this is Jesus, who you were waiting for. This is the Messiah. This is the one with whom he is well pleased. This is Christ the Lord, the one who can save and redeem and restore. This is who you've been waiting for. We need to be clear. The angels are not greater than Jesus. They proclaim Jesus. They're not greater than God, you know, because we could look for angelic visitations to guide our whole life, you know. I'll wait till the angel turns up, then I'll do something. No, God is with us. That's what they're saying. Emmanuel, God has come. He's with you. As we've been with him, the angels are saying, as we've been with him, now he is with you. Wow. I don't know sometimes if we get the gravity of that. He is with us. Hebrews 1:4 says this, long ago and at many, many times, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. We talked about that last week, the prophetic declarations. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He was there at the beginning. He'll be there for all eternity. Through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, and having become as much superior to angels as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. Jesus' life was to respond fully to God on earth and then return to the Father, as we have the opportunity to do, and live with him in his majesty and his glory. The angels worship Jesus. They worship God the Father. They worship because they see what has been done, that he is the exact imprint, the exact radiance. You know, maybe someone said of you, you know, you look just like your dad, or you look just like your mum. That's what we're talking about here. This looks exactly, and sometimes they're talking about your outer looks, but sometimes they're saying about your character, aren't they? Sometimes they're saying, actually, you've inherited something. You look exactly the same. In Hebrews, continuing on, it also says, the Father speaking about his Son, Jesus. I'll be to him a father, and he shall be my son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, speaking of the Father, he says, let all God's angels worship him. This was declared by God throughout the Old Testament. These Old Testament sayings that the Hebrews writer grabs and says, all of this was declared. Let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes angels winds and his ministers of flames of fire. I'm sure that that's what Mary and the shepherds experienced. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness and the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, he has anointed you with the oil of gladness and beyond your companions. So this is talking about Jesus being higher than all. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. All your Black Friday garments will wear out. I'm sorry, that's what it's saying here. The world will wear out like a garment. But like a robe, you'll roll them up, and like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And this is talking about the Father, talking about the Son, the glory of the Son, that he will never have an end, that he will deliver the truth. He will deliver righteousness, hate wickedness, love what God loves, do what God does. So the angels did not only stand and for these things and declare these things throughout Scripture, they declared the very message of God. These angels were saying, nothing is impossible for God. And I felt like bold headline this morning, as it was last week, stand and see him deliver salvation. This week is nothing is impossible for God. The story of Mary having the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, coming to a humble person with a humble heart, is impossible except by God. And it needed to be, because this was God's Son. It had to have the fingerprints of God, that no one would doubt he had been the one who had delivered it. They would proclaim always the message and the King, the reign forever. That this reign is not temporal. That when you trust in this King, in this Son, in this God, it's forever. It's done forevermore. You know, aren't you just sick of trusting in things that last a few minutes? Aren't you sick of the world that trusts in things for a few minutes and it just can't offer forever? Jesus puts on offer forever, and the angels proclaim it. They also proclaim the purpose of Jesus coming, for his great salvation. He was coming to save and transform us, to be in the likeness of him, to be able to be with the Father, to know what he knows and to understand what he understands. But they also highlight the Holy Spirit's work in this, that it's actually not you doing this for Jesus, it's Jesus doing this in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. As it was with Mary in the physical, it is with us in the spiritual. The Holy Spirit comes to us, overshadows us, and says, here is Jesus' life if you would receive it. I heard a testimony at the men's breakfast yesterday, and I've heard this a couple of times this year. I'm getting suspicious. It might be happening a lot. But there was a moment where a guy was telling me, I hadn't met him before. He's one of your neighbors. And he just said, last year around this time, he had an encounter where Jesus came to him. He didn't know Jesus, but he was sick, he was unwell. Jesus came to him, and as Jesus came to him, he said, if you're real, I'll receive you. In that moment, he received him. God moved in his body. He was released from the temperature. He got the strength back in his body. He stood up, he went and told his wife, who apparently had been praying for him for 2 weeks. And I was just like, I've heard this before. I'm getting suspicious that God's inviting people. He's engaging people. You know, it used to be by angels, but now it's by his Son. Jesus is turning up. He's got off the chain a bit. He's turning up. He's coming to people's lives. When you pray for people, we don't know what God will do. I've heard about Muslim brothers and sisters and people across the world in different places who are seeing Jesus invade their dreams, invade their engagements, and God saying, hey, I love you too much to let you go. Will you receive me? And yet, those of us who might know him sometimes may miss him. It was those of that day who were very religious and very godly, and maybe very thinking they were pridefully that way, who missed it completely. It was lowly shepherds. It was a humble girl saying, actually, I just want to devote my life to Christ, to God, and became the one who would be the mother of Christ, which wasn't easy if you think about her life. It wasn't an easy choice. It was a full-hearted response. What does this mean? There wasn't a lot of time to weigh that up. Listen to her response. Remember what Mary said? She said, behold, I am your servant, Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Whoa. I wonder in our Western world whether we would have gone, hang on just a minute, can I just Google this? Can I just ask AI? Can I just work out what? Hang on, can I talk to a few friends? Can I phone a friend? Can I get some opinions? Can I get some counseling? She just says, I know you, God. I know that you're good to me. Let it be to me as per your word. Wow. Could that be our response? Is it that easy? Is it that clear? Is it that genuine? Think about the shepherds responding to the angels. Like against every earthly tendency that a shepherd has. Shepherd don't leave sheep. If you leave the sheep, you lose your job. As soon as the angels have spoken, they turn to one another and say, let us go and see this thing that has happened. Extraordinary. The angels help us. The Holy Spirit helps us individually now with the right response to Jesus. When it's Jesus, when it's real, he helps us to go, I don't need any other opinions. I don't need any other responses. My response is, God, let it be to me as in your word. Go. Hey, let's go and see what this thing that God is doing among us. I wanted to land in Hebrews again, this message, because it's sobering. It says in Hebrews 2, 1 to 5, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard. Hark! Listen! Consider this. Be at attention, lest we drift away from it. So for those of you who are drifting towards it, we'd love you to respond to what Jesus is saying today in the purity and the power of what Mary and the shepherds did. But for those of us who've heard this many, many times, we've got to be careful that the anchor is down. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or dishonest disobedience received a just retribution, i.e. we were on our way to receiving the wages of sin and death, and when Jesus intervened, came to this earth, we were given the reprieve, the redemption, that we would never face the punishment that was due to us. And the angels would have had to outwork that. We receive the angelic announcement, God is with you. Wow, what a different response. How shall we escape it if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Do you know that God has not only given his Son, but he's given the Holy Spirit now to reveal his Son to each one of us? Whether we're far from God or whether we're close to God, the Holy Spirit is here among us even today, hovering and overshadowing lives, whether it's online or in this room, and saying, I am with you, and I want to birth what God is doing in and through you, and I want to grow it through you, because this is the salvation of God. Isn't that amazing? So all we get to, or what we get to do today, is actually respond to God's message. The message that was proclaimed by angels, declared by prophets down thousands of years, landing on us today in a room where the Holy Spirit comes to each one of us and says, will you respond to Jesus in that way? It's not just a response that says, hey, I want you to save me. It's actually Mary's response that says, let it be to me, your servant, according to your will. I'm your servant. Take my life. Let it be. Wow. Give me your life, Jesus, and you take mine. This is an exchange of huge proportions that relieves us of the punishment that Jesus carried on that cross and delivers us to the future and the love that Trina was speaking of earlier in 1 John. It says no one can call, in 1 John it says, no one can call Jesus Lord unless it's by the Holy Spirit. And no one can do that unless they've actually experienced his love. This morning his love is on offer. The impossible can be made possible. And there is an absolute opportunity for us to no longer live in disobedience, but actually do the most radical thing that is impossible to humankind without God, and that's obey the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Respond to him with our whole life and say, it's you I'll serve and no other. It's you I'll trust and no other. And like the angels, I'll stand and sing and declare and minister to the people around me. And I will not stop singing of God's goodness.